Joining me tonight, from Cobra and the Losers, are Brad and Marcus. Good evening, fellas.
Good evening, my friend.
Thanks for spending a little bit of time just before the show tonight at the rather lovely and quite dark think tank.
Yeah, I think this is the second time we've played here. Mm-hmm. And I mean, besides the load-in being a real bitch, it's actually a real nice venue.
Yeah.
Probably should ask, can we swear?
Feel free.
Okay cool. Because you're going to get it regardless. So I need to know how much editing you want.
No, the thing is, I either bleep it, but I bleep it old school. Mm. So it's quite obvious what the word was.
Yeah, because.
And I do that because it makes me laugh, or I leave it in if I'm being lazy. It's one of those. It just depends how I feel.
Yeah.
But feel free. So the tour going well so far?
Yeah, it started off pretty well. We did three shows with The Haunted in Finland,
yep. Which for me was a highlight because The Haunted was one of the bands that I really, really, really got into when I was younger.
Yeah,
and it was cool. They played like a really diverse set list with like a bunch of tunes that I was a huge fan of. And on the last night, we happened to be in a venue that had a balcony, so we just got to stand over top of them and watch them. They're wicked good.
I didn't know much about The Haunted, but I did know that the drummer played for At the Gates, which I was huge in At the Gates. So, like you said, we had the balcony view of the last show we played with them, got to watch them play. It was just amazing. It was great. So we did that with The Haunted. Then we did two shows in Russia with Camelot, which was our first time there.
Wow.
And it was amazing. The fans are just incredible. And they were like waiting at the hotel for us to show up, get off the train. They're right there, you know, waiting. It's just closest to a celebrity, quote unquote, that I've ever felt.
And how does that feel? Feeling like a celebrity?
Weird, because I wouldn't do that if I was a fan trying to get my autograph. I wouldn't be doing that. Even like musicians I really look up to, I wouldn't wait outside for hours to see them. But
to be fair, I mean, the thing is that you see it, you have a different perspective on the whole thing,
exactly.
Right? They're not musicians, they're just fans.
Yeah.
I get to see the musicians take a shit next to me, you know?
Hey, man.
Yeah, it's a bit of a leveler.
Yeah, right?
Because they're all just people.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, somebody who invests, I guess, so much emotion and time and everything into your music, they, I guess, start to kind of see you on a pedestal a bit.
Mm.
So I would never judge them for doing
that.
No. And it was really cool because, you know, that's the first, like he said, first time that we've had that kind of reception in a country.
Mm.
But apparently there were people there who had been waiting to see us for a good long time. So, I mean, the band isn't new.
I guess that's, you know, I know why I picked up a guitar and ended up doing this because I couldn't do what you're doing. But because I believe the hype, my mum and dad told me.
Yeah.
You've got to do a real job. You can't do that.
Mm.
And then you realise that everybody doing that,
that's
a real job too, usually.
Yeah.
And it's it just to make every... And now I'm kind of going, okay, but I do this. And I get to meet guys like you.
And people say,
well, do you not get all starstruck and fanboyish? I say, yeah, sometimes.
Mm.
Do you get your pictures taken with them? I went... No.
As an interviewer,
and
you
they
don't
went,
do that.
And they kind of went, really? I said, why? And I'm going, well, do you know what? It's not about that to me.
Mm.
It's kind of like me going to a gig, and probably you guys, because, you know, you're going on about Camelot and The Haunted, and you're still clearly fans.
Mm.
And to me, it's about watching it and experiencing it and getting those memories stored up so that when next time you hear that song, you're, oh, yeah, that was then, and that... And that, to me, is what it's all about.
Sure.
I mean, that's what music is, right? It connects you to a memory or an emotion. Mm. And every time you listen to it, you kind of get teleported back. I mean, nostalgia is a real powerful thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And, I mean, there are certain songs that I hear now that, you know... Shut the hell up! We're doing an interview, guy!
Have some respect, Holmes.
That's the mentality I like. Love it. But that's the thing. I chat away to people. It's never. You probably realise no questions. It's just what comes happening.
I get it. That's perfect.
And to me, that's about trying to find out about you guys and what it's like in Cobra and the Lotus and what's good and why you do it. And I think you tend to find that people either get it or they don't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a casual format's usually one of those things that. I mean, I don't know, you end up getting the good shit that way, but you're right, some people don't get it. But I mean, especially with today, with the world, like with podcasts and stuff and all these like open open-ended interviews that really are just casual and there's just people talking. I think more than ever people will understand what you're going for.
God, sounds to me like I know what I'm doing. I just do it because it's me.
I get it.
There's nothing worse than interviews where it's just like the standard, just generic questions. Like the first one is, so, you're on tour.
You mean like mine one was?
Yeah. That one's bad, but what's worse is, so, how'd you get the name Cobra and the Lotus? That one fucking drives me nuts. For one, neither of us were there.
Yeah.
And two, I've heard the story 800 times.
Yeah.
And if you're an interviewer, all you'd have to do is Google one interview and boom, there it is. Do your research.
Or Wikipedia.
Man. Yeah. There, do your research, you lazy bitch.
Well, you know, I think it's always a tricky thing. So I tend to go and say, right, so what do I want to know? It's not things I want to know. Prevail. Part one.
Are you sure it's not Prevail I?
No, sure it's not no, I read the press release. It's part one.
So you did some research.
I read the press release.
We've had interviews where
kind
it's
of
like
a professional.
Release Prevail I.
Well,
that's
strictly
a one.
Speaking,
that's
it's correct.
One of two. Part one of two. It's a Roman numeral.
Yeah.
That's real.
So what was the thinking behind doing it as a two-part thing?
Well, Cobra had this idea to go do a double album because no one does it anymore. We found out why no one does it anymore.
Because
it's
fucking
a lot of work and it sucks.
Yeah.
So it eventually ended up getting split in two parts because it just makes more sense with just oversaturation of media and songs now. If you release 24 tracks or something like that at once, just plop them all down, maybe two or three of them are going to get listened to, right?
And you're just wasting.
If you split it apart, you can get a lot more mileage out of that, and people can actually sit down and invest their time and emotions in listening to the songs,
exactly.
You know, rather than just dumping it all down at once. But, dude, that was such an arduous task. That was the first thing I did with the band, was fly to Denmark, and we worked with Jacob Hansen at Hansen Studios, and came in there with basically nothing written. So we had, me and him had to do all of the drums and bass in 30 days.
Wow.
So there was many days where we had to learn the songs that day and then record three songs in one day. It was just insane. And by the end of it, I didn't even touch drums for another month after that.
It really makes you question your ability as a musician. I don't know. I walked out of there feeling pretty beat up and pissed off about it. I was pissed off and mad about it, you know, being there.
Did you scream and shout about it?
I was screaming and shouting about it. And then the thing about it was studios sucks anyways in the way that it just makes you feel like you're not that great because you're under a microscope. But then to be doing a double album of songs you don't like really know, you know what I mean? You're just in there like flailing and hoping it turns out, which it did. The product is great, but it was a serious like mental challenge. And I mean, I didn't see anyone have like a breakdown, but I will say we were all pretty like mentally frayed by the end of it.
Yeah, it must be one of those things. I mean, you hear lots of stories about life on the road could be, everybody sees it as the fun stuff. But you know, there's all of you together all the time for that hour of fun stuff.
Yeah.
Which is why everybody's in a band.
Yeah.
But there's an hour of that and 23 hours of being cooped up in pretty much a small tin box.
That's exactly right. I like to say there's like 5 to 10% of actually playing music that's involved in being in a touring band. Everything else is just the bullshit that goes along with it.
So, I hope we get the answer I want here. You clearly get on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think we. Somebody would already have gone recently if we didn't. That's usually what ends up being a good, solid reason why you see a high turnover in bands these days. One, the money's not there. This isn't 1982. You know what I mean? Nobody's making big bank. Two, it's like when you're a beginner or when you're like an intermediate type band, like you're not huge, you still got all the shitty things. You travel in a van. You know what I mean? You load your own goddamn gear. You know what I mean? You're eating McDonald's. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that ends up being a serious weight on musicians. And the thing is when you're professional, like everyone in the band is right now, you get really good at reading people and understanding when to back the fuck off. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It's
Yeah,
you get really good at seeing, okay, Marcus does not look happy right now. And if I say something, he's going to explode.
Yeah.
So it's time to, you know, put a pair of headphones on.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you can ship out when you're in a four-seater van, but you can put your headphones on and stop talking to each other and leave it. Right. And that's I think that's how we managed to get on. I mean, everyone here has been doing it forever. Mm. I mean, I know that not a single one of us is under, 10 years at this point. And I mean, at that point, you have to be pretty good to be last 10 years, because if you don't last 10 years, you're going to get gobbled up and spit out by the music industry. I mean, I think one of the things that is huge for musicians is that you have this image in your brain of what it is growing up with all the lore and the movies and the DVDs and the videos, and you think it's one thing, and then when you get there, it's not that at all.
No.
You realize that it was more of a Hollywood version of what it is.
Yeah,
and when you start being knee deep in the shit, a lot of people just decide, well, this isn't worth it. This isn't what I thought it was, and I'm out.
No.
You know what I mean? It's only the real true people who really love the music and are here for that reason, or love playing music, or, you know what I mean? The people who really treasure being a live performer and that's all they want to do, that hold out.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So anyone you see in a band who's, or a musician who's, you know, been here 10 plus years, you got to have the respect for them to know that they have probably held on through relationship decimation, financial ruin, you know what I mean? Nonstop, you know, it's insane.
It must pretty much destroy relationships.
I have a lady and a daughter. So,
well, that's well done.
With all the new advances and, you know, cell phones and, you know, FaceTime and stuff like that, it's so much easier. I couldn't imagine back when, like, Led Zeppelin was touring trying to have a family
or a girlfriend
at home.
Yeah.
We all have significant others at home, and it works because we have those avenues to talk to them. But, like, getting back to the performance, I try to enjoy myself as much as possible up there.
Yeah.
Because that's why I'm
here.
That's
why you're doing it.
And if I didn't enjoy myself there, I'd go home. All the other shit that's involved, it sucks, man. It's just terrible.
It must be that bit. And as long as you, clearly you do, as long as you remember, that's why I'm doing this.
Oh, man, and there are some nights.
It'll come out on stage.
And there are some nights where the magic is really there, and it's like, well, it's magic. There's no other word for it. When everything's hitting you exactly right, that's a real nice reminder of why you're there. You know what I mean? When everything's going the way you dreamed about going and you just hit it, that's why we're all here.
But part of being a professional is also when things are not there, when the magic's not there, is still putting on a killer performance.
You just kind of got to nut up and handle it.
And flexing your muscles.
And flexing your muscles.
Flexing your muscles.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's really good to hear. Now, clearly, it's not all a bed of song and dance and roses and fun.
Not at all.
Just from what you've said. But I saw Cobra posted last week before. Oh dear.
Oh, please. Go on. Go ahead.
Go on.
Go ahead.
What did you see?
Clearly she feels under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And then things like the merch and everything and the kit issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that must really be an absolute grind for you when that sort of thing hits you. Mm-hmm. And as you said,
yeah,
as you are, how disappointed was I that it wasn't a blonde with big boobies? Well, I've got me, so who cares?
Well, you're blonde.
You know, I have big boobies. Yeah.
You're not the skinniest guy.
No, yeah. Yeah, but I can fill a pram. There you go. You know what I mean? It kind of struck me that she's going, you know what, this is hard.
Yeah.
And is it kind of, you sometimes get that feeling that, you know, we're deadly serious about what we do. We do this for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do. Well, but there's this image that people are trying to paint on the band that it is not a band, it's one person.
Mm. Well, I mean, if you want to talk about that, you're talking to the right two people. We're practically invisible.
Yeah, I mean, the rhythm section.
Yeah.
Least amount of pictures, least amount of anything. Well,
you'll be pleased to know that as a photographer, I always try and take a picture of the drummer.
And that's what I
at least one.
At least one.
If there's 50 pictures, there better be at least one of me.
I'm hoping so.
That's
I'm
a good ratio right there.
I'm lighting here can be tricky for cameras, but I will. I always try. And people go, why? I said, because guess what? That band remembers. Yeah. At least one of them remembers me.
Yeah.
Every single time. Well, why? Because people don't take them. And they go, why not? Well, it's difficult to take. If you get the right angle and hope. Well,
remember that one photographer that took the one picture of me on the entire tour?
Once.
Yeah. I remember that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and honestly, man, it's like, the thing about it is, regardless of how much work you put in to try to, we've kind of accepted our fate in that. You know what I mean? Like, she even puts in effort to try to make it so people know we're there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's constantly posting, you know, this is the other guy's accounts. This is this and this and this, right? But I mean, we kind of accepted, I mean, I know what we're in. I mean, this is not my first female front band.
No.
It's not his. It's
not mine.
No.
Yeah. We know what it is. It is what it is. And
people aren't here to see Brad and the Lotus.
Though maybe
Marcus
one
and
day.
The Lotus. There might be a handful in the crowd, but the majority of here to see Cobra. And that's fine. That's how it is.
Yeah. Mm.
But I know my place. I don't need to be on the front of the stage to fulfill my enjoyment.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I would have never been a drummer if that was the case.
And I know what you mean, but, you know, and like when you're talking about that, it's like the thing about it is every one of us has a day that'll hit us. You know what I mean? And, you know, next day, not fine. You know what I mean?
It's all fine,
It's all fine, but there are times where it's like, everything just kind of builds up over, like, I think that happened and we were already almost a month in. Mm. So, I mean, that's a month of all these little things, and then that was just the final straw.
Like stacking a house of cards. And these are stress cards, and then you just put that one on top and the whole house
that
falls.
That said, when I read it, I didn't see it as, oh my God, there's implosion going on. I just thought, do you know what? Good for you.
Yeah.
Absolutely good for you for just sort of kind of sticking a finger up at everybody and just saying, you know what, this is hard.
This is if there was if we've always talked about doing a DVD on the road because people don't have a fucking clue. You know what I mean? It's like they like to think it is one thing, which it also in a way you don't want to do. Because one of
you
the things,
kill a magic.
Well, yeah, one of the things about people being in a band is there's this mystery, this kind
allure
to it, and that's actually kind of a bummer about social media in a way, is that social media has really
killed it
robbed the magic of music in the way that now, I mean, nobody wants to see Paul Stanley standing in a fucking urinal, but you will see it. Because somebody will take a picture and post
with
that
take
shit.
A selfie.
With the hair not quite as it would appear on stage.
Exactly.
Did I say that right?
Yeah, exactly.
Just one day. I love Kiss, but
And that's the thing, right? Is it's like social media is a great tool, but I also think it's done a lot to damage the mystique. Mm. You know?
One of the things I've noticed is it seems to have, it's not just damaged the mystique, but it's damaged how people enjoy music.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's become consumed music.
Yeah.
So they'll go, oh, on Prevail I, might as well fit in with the rest, eh? On Prevail One. You know, they'll go, I like that song, I'll have that song, and I'll have that, and that's all I'll listen to.
Yeah.
And I'm still caught up in, I'm still the 3-year-old that watched The Suite on the TV going, that's amazing. And I remember, it's the first thing I remember as a kid, and I would have been about 3 or 4. People go, really? That's the first thing you remember? I went, yeah. And then they go, and? And I said, that made me want to play guitar, and I wanted a guitar from being 4 years old.
Mm.
And they went, really? I went, yeah. And you start earn a bit of pocket money and stuff like that. It's like what toys are you buying? I'm not buying a record.
Mm.
I'm buying that, and then you buy more and more and more. And I'm still like that now. I want to hear everything. I mean, the other day, as I said, got Prevail One, loved it, and then you put it away and you do bombarded with stuff. So I thought, right, let's put it on again. So I just had Spotify on while I was working. Just put everything of Cobra and the Lotus on.
Yeah,
and listen to all of it.
Yeah. Including the hooker?
I think so. If it's on Spotify, if it's on Spotify, a lot.
We're actually thinking of reissuing that, re-recording it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do it.
Ed, you need to talk over that. We've been pushing for it. Rides Like Sugar. That's what I'm saying.
You know, I...
That's all I'm saying.
But you're kind of going, you know, and that to me is just a great day. I might not be absorbing every nuance because I'm working, but it's everything. You're, oh, I caught that bit there. Mm-hmm. And I still get such a thrill out of that. That to me, the magic can't be destroyed by seeing a picture of Paul Stanley in the urinal. I just don't look at it.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know why I'm doing that. I'm not even on Grindr or Tinder or whatever. But I swipe left. I'm an old man. What am I doing? But so I'm going to try and wrap it up and let you guys get ready.
Okay.
Have you finished off all of the Prevail sessions, or have you got to go back and do the second half?
Nope, they're all done.
Did it all in one sitting, man.
Nice. So that's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that again.
That's true. I mean, we talk a lot. There's two types of musicians. There's studio guys, and there's live performance guys. Mm-hmm. And me and him both have always been live performance guys. Mm-hmm. Studio, for some people, they like it. They like all the little gadgets and making the stuff sound perfect, but I like the energy you get from the crowd, the almost raw magic of playing and maybe making a mistake, but owning it and continuing on and it just being in that moment. You know?
The give and take of the energy from the crowd is something that, I mean, it's more of a rush than anything out there. So that's that. Yeah, that's why we're here. Studio has the opposite effect. It's like super measured and precise. And not a lot of fun.
I think that's the bit that everybody forgets.
Yeah.
It's that's the work.
Yeah.
That's the real work.
I could be a studio musician. I can make a lot more money, and I wouldn't have to tour. Wouldn't have to do traveling. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't get to play in front of live people. You know.
yeah.
And get the energy and get the, that's how I get off on it. So.
And do you find it that makes you better as musicians as well?
Is studio or live?
Live.
Oh, well, again, there's two types of performer or musicians. Some people can play amazing in the studio, but you put them on a stage and they have no performance at all. They're just going through the motions. They don't know how to entertain. Mm. I'm not a drummer. I'm an entertainer.
That's right.
Best drummers out.
Kind of like a prostitute.
So thank you so much for spending some time. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, man.